Our scripture reading for this morning is going to come from the Gospel of Luke. And we'll be reading from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 26 through 39, which began on page 944 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he, Jesus, stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. It was a year ago this week as I was on study leave in Louisville, Kentucky, that I had heard the news, read it actually over the internet. A lone gunman, a young man struggling with his demons, walked into a church in Charlotte, North Carolina, where people were attending Bible study, and opened fire, killing 9 people, including the pastor of the church, who was also a state senator. The news was traumatic, and of course it was headline news for several days. But then we forgot. But last Sunday, early Sunday morning, as I was preparing for worship here in the office, I ran across another story over the internet. 20 people gunned down by a lone gunman, the headline said, in Orlando. I didn't have time to read the story. Didn't want to read it, actually. Didn't want to hear about another mass shooting in this country, and so I decided to leave my mind unencumbered by the tragic events of that morning. But of course, I had an opportunity to read about it and hear about it later. And again, while the circumstances changed, the contours of the tragedy are familiar. A young man, always a young man, tormented by his demons, killed 49 people in a nightclub. The scary part for me is that when I first read the headline, I wasn't shocked or stunned or surprised in any way. It was simply something that I've come to expect, something that I come to view as normal. I could go on, of course. I could talk about other instances. I could talk about San Bernardino. I could talk about Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut. I could talk about Virginia Tech. I could talk about Aurora. I could talk about Columbine. But you know the names as well as I do. And you know the stories of the disturbed young men who helped to etch those names in our collective memory. What you may not know is that according to data compiled by the Gun Violence Archive, there is a mass shooting, and a mass shooting is defined as a shooting in which four or more people are shot in one incident, but there is a mass shooting on 5 of every 6 days of the year. On 5 of every 6 day, there is a mass shooting somewhere. 4 or more people are shot. As the president himself acknowledged, we have a pattern of mass shootings in this country that has no parallel anywhere else in the world. I think I saw somewhere a figure that said that out of the last 1,260 days, there had been 1,000 shootings, 1,000 mass shootings. Now, depending on who you listen to, the solution is relatively simple. For some, the answer is more guns. The only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun, I'm told, is a good guy with a gun. Has a certain amount of appeal, a certain amount of logic, I suppose, but I personally can't see how advocating more guns in a nation awash with guns is a viable answer to what is plaguing our nation. The other answer is regulation. Let's regulate guns. That makes some sense to me, but I acknowledge how terribly inadequate it is. There's something else going on. Something deeper, something spiritual that lies at the root of our problems. And only when we as a nation seriously wrestle with our own demons and acknowledge our demons and name our demons can we begin to heal. In our text this morning, Jesus has crossed on the other side. He's been crossing the Sea of Galilee. And now we're told that he's crossed to the region of the Gerasenes. For Jews, it was considered unclean territory because a number of Gentiles lived there. But that's where Jesus goes. He is often in those places that are considered unclean, where people appear to be beyond hope. But immediately, Jesus is confronted by a man with an unclean spirit, a man wrestling with his demons. He has all kinds of problems. He resides in the tombs. He is naked. He is homeless. The townspeople try to shackle him, but he breaks the bounds of their shackles. And he stays in the tombs, the place of the dead. And this young man doesn't just have one demon, we are told, but he has lots of demons. My name is Legion. That's what he tells Jesus when Jesus asks the man's name. Jesus knows that you have to name the demons. Those demons have to be discerned and named and brought out in the open. And so when Jesus asks the young man his name, the man replies, "My name is Legion." And the text says, because there were many demons, many unclean spirits that had come to occupy. That had come to possess this man. The devils, of course, know who they are. And they also know who Jesus is. They know that Jesus is the Son of God. They know that Jesus is the one who has authority to cast them out and to bring healing and liberation and wholeness to this young man. They know that Jesus has the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, and the Spirit of love. And there's nothing like the spirit of life and the spirit of love that can break the grip of even the strongest of unclean spirits. And so these devils, these demons, beg Jesus, do not send us back into the depths of hell, but if you're going to do something with us, send us over there to that herd of unclean swine. And so that's what Jesus does. He sends them away into the herd of pigs, and the pigs meet their demise by going over the cliff into the sea where they drowned. But as for the young man, he is set free. He is healed. He is rid of his demons. And when word gets out, the people come and they see this young man, and he is sitting there clothed and in his right mind. The power of Jesus to heal. But the thing that has always intrigued me about this story is not the power of Jesus to overcome the unclean spirits. After all, by the time we get to the end of chapter 8, Jesus' power and authority has been firmly established. He has calmed a storm. He has raised the dead. He has brought healing to many. And now he has healed this young man, exorcised this young man's demons. But what has always intrigued me about this story is the reaction of the townspeople, the people of the region of Gerasenes. You would think that the folks would be elated that this man, this demoniac in their midst, this man who ran naked in the tombs, this man who howled and hollered day and night, this man who broke the bonds, broke the chains that they tried to restrain him with, that they would be elated that this man has been set free from the demons that have control of his life. But instead, we are told that the town folk are overcome with fear, and they tell Jesus to leave. Imagine that, telling the author of life, the author of love, to leave. Leave, Jesus, we don't want you here. Leave, Jesus, we don't want to be rid of our demons. Leave, Jesus, we like things just the way they are. Could it be that the town folks themselves were also occupied and controlled by the same demonic forces that controlled this young man's life? Leave, Jesus. We don't know what we would do without our demons. We don't know what we would do without our demoniac. We want you to leave. What happened in Orlando last week is not an aberration. It's not just the horrifying destructiveness of a disturbed individual wrestling with his individual demons, but it's indicative of the unclean spiritual forces that have come to rest at the very center of our national life and have come to possess us all. And those spirits need to be named for what they are. Spirits of anger, spirits of fear, spirits of resentment for those who are different from us, and of course, spirits of violence. We believe in violence. Our roots are steeped in violence. We believe in it. We believe that violence is the answer to all of our problems. So we shouldn't be surprised that we see these troubled young men who imbibe our values, who have internalized our values, internalized what we believe in, and have carried it out in their own long night of the soul with their own demons. Richard Slotkin, in his book Gunfighter Nation, points out that there is something in our culture that believes that there's no problem that is so severe that it wouldn't improve if we could just shoot someone. We believe in violence. We believe in guns. We believe that that's the way that we can solve all of our problems. But we're reminded that we will not be healed by violence. We can only be healed when we are touched by the Lord of life and love himself. But like the good folks of the Gerasenes, we are not quite sure that we want the Lord in our midst. We're not quite sure that we want to get rid of our anger. We're not quite sure that we want to get rid of our resentment for other people. We're not quite sure that we want to get rid of our guns. We're not quite sure that we want to get rid of our violence. Leave, Jesus. We don't want you here. Get away from us. Jesus, depart from us. We're angry. We're angry at everything. We're angry at everyone. Leave, Jesus. We don't want the power of your love in our midst. We don't want the power of your healing upon us. We don't want you to show us the way of life. Leave, Jesus. Get away from us. Depart from us. We say that too. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't try to argue with the folks at Gerasene. He gets in the boat and he leaves. Not even Jesus will stay around where he is not wanted. Not even Jesus will stay around when he has demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives, and that power is rejected. And so we are told that Jesus gets on the boat and he crosses over to the other side. But he does leave a witness. He does leave a witness with the people of Gerasene. He leaves the demoniac himself, who has been clothed and in his right mind. And Jesus has left our country a witness too. He has left all of us. We are the body of Christ. We are the presence of God, the presence of Christ in the midst of a troubled and darkened world. We are the hands and the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have his Spirit, his Holy Spirit upon us. We cannot cast out demons. We cannot cast out the unclean forces and powers of death that have control over so much of our world. We cannot do that. Only God can do that. But we are called to bear witness. We are called to remind people what God has done for all of us. We are called to show this world, indeed, how God has liberated us and freed us from our anger. How God has liberated us and freed us from our resentment of other people. How God has liberated us and freed us from our penchant for violence. God has liberated us, hasn't he? Hasn't God liberated us? Hasn't God set us free from all of that? God has done that for us, has he not? And we are called to bear witness to that in the midst of our own world and our own culture and our own nation. In Mark's version of this story, Jesus comes back through the region of the Gerasenes. He comes back through, but this time the whole region, the whole town comes out to meet him and to greet him and to praise him and to glorify him. The power of one witness, the power of one witness to change lives, the power of one witness who says that not only am I not going to be dominated by the forces and powers of this world, but I'm going to testify with my very life what it means to be a new creation, what it means to really live, what it means to be born in God's Spirit. And that's what you and I are called to do as well. We have seen a great deal of ugliness in our society within the last year. We have seen the coarsening of our political discourse in the last several years, the last several decades. We have seen people express their anger unashamedly, their resentment unashamedly. And we have seen people who would exploit that, who would exploit our fears and our resentments, our hatreds. And I believe will not be coy in exploiting our penchant for violence. But if our society is going to hear something else, if it can begin to be healed, it will take people like all of us, people in this room, people who know and have felt the love of God, people who ourselves have been liberated and know what it means to live as God's new creation in the midst of this world. I pray for myself. I pray that I will not become numb to the violence that seems to be an everyday occurrence. I pray for a time when my heart will once again become softened so that expressions of violence will be something that causes shock and surprise and not be met with "I told you so," or just another everyday common occurrence. And that's why I give thanks for all of you this morning, because you help me to remember who we are and what we are called to be about in this world. We are the people of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the former demoniac who have been set free from the forces and powers of death that once gripped our lives. May we have the courage to go forth into our world, proclaiming the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not just by what we say, but how we live our lives, by how we love one another, by how we love those who are different from us, and by how we use our love to overturn the anger that is so powerfully extant in our world. Remember who we are, and go forth and proclaim all the good things that God has done for you and for all of us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us to be your people. You have called us to be your body. You have called us to borne your spirit out into the world. We ask, Lord, that you send us forth in the world with so many unclean spirits to give testimony to the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.